Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're pleased to welcome former Warrior, NBA shooting guard, and current NBC Sports Bay Area analyst Kalena Azubuike. And Kalena, we've seen pretty much everything from the Warriors just these first four games of the playoffs. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the way the Warriors are playing right now based on their potential?
I would say they're about a 7, and they can still get better. I just say 7 because of what happened in game 2, but I feel like since then they've been much better. They've been defending a lot better with more intensity and focus for most of the game, for more of the game than they did in game 2. And I think one of the biggest reasons has been because of Andre Iguodala. And they put Andre Iguodala on Lou Williams, and he has been fighting over screens, and he keeps coming, and he times it perfectly, and he jumps as soon as Lou Williams jumps. He knows Lou Williams really well. He was a teammate of his for a while, so he knows him extremely well, and he's playing him well, and he's giving him a really tough time, so Lou hasn't really been able to get into a nice rhythm and all. And you got Draymond, the defensive end, who's been great in this series, and then KD obviously figured out he can move without the ball, and he's been scoring really well, so they're playing well.
When Steve Kerr says they stopped playing in game number 2, what does that mean?
It just means they stopped focusing. They let their guard down. They took their foot off the gas pedal. And it was evident because in that game, first of all, there was all kinds of issues on the defensive end. And we were just talking about it at halftime. We were like, man, everything seems to be going well for the Warriors. Nothing seems to be giving them any problems on the defensive side. They got everything under control. And then everything changed in the second half. So the on-ball defense was really bad. So the help would come, and then they wouldn't be back. And then by the time they started trying to focus and play hard, the Clippers really had a nice rhythm. And then they started hitting tough shots. So that game just kind of got out of hand, and the Clippers walked them down. And then the Clippers made big plays at the end, and then you had the Landry Shamet 3 that kind of sealed the deal for the Clippers. So that was a wake-up call for the Warriors. I really feel like that was actually – maybe one of the best things that could happen to the Warriors.
Wow.
Because they realize, okay, if we don't play, if we don't focus, I know we're talented and all those things, but if we don't focus and come out and play the way we're supposed to, anything can happen.
Why did they need a wake-up call, Kalena?
Because that's how they are, man. They're human beings. You know, they're human beings, and obviously they're super talented, and they're trying to fight human nature. And human nature says, well, you're up 30, you know, you can chill out for a little bit. You don't have to go all the way out, right? Just kind of sleepwalk to the finish line. You can just kind of go through the motions. Worst comes to worst, maybe they get it down to 15 or 20 or something like that, and you still win the game. And that's kind of what happened. And this Clippers team is the wrong team to do that against. And they're a tough, gritty team. And they got Patrick Beverley, who's a Hall of Fame annoying type player. His annoyance levels can go through the roof. And he was getting under guys' skin, and KD didn't finish the first two games, fouled out of one, got kicked out of the other one. And Patrick Beverley was partly responsible for that. So all those things happen. A lot of things have to go bad for the Warriors to lose a game, and they all did midway through that third quarter onto the end of the game in that game too. And so that hasn't happened in these last two games since then. And I really feel like the Warriors had that game in mind when they got off to a big lead in game 3. They kept playing. They kept their foot on the gas pedal, continued to focus on the defensive end, played the right way, ended up being a blowout in this last game. Mm. The defense really came up big in that fourth quarter, and you got Draymond Green drawing charges. And, again, Andre Iguodala was just incredible on Lou Williams.
Former Warrior and current NBC Sports Bay Area analyst, pre and post for the Warriors, Kalena Azubuike with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. That game 2 was also significant for the loss of Boogie Cousins. What changes without him in the lineup?
just the bigs are going to be playing off of the guards more. That's basically the difference with the big they'll have out there in Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins is a guy that you can throw the ball to in the post and he can get his own buckets. He can get buckets where they're not assisted. And these guys that are going to be playing with the Warriors now, Bogut's been starting. You got Looney coming in games and playing extremely well. Those guys play off the playmakers. So they're going to set screens. They're going to roll to the basket. They're going to be in the dunker position and move around and react to drives. But Looney has been really good in this series, and they've been trusting him more and giving him the ball more in tough positions. And he's hit some fadeaways. They've given him the ball, rolling to the basket where there's defenders around, and he's got to make a move. It's not just a straightforward catch and finish. So he's been much better there. He's trusting his mid-range jumper even more. And then Andrew Bogut was just a godsend, really. Obviously, losing DeMarcus Cousins, having him has been wonderful. And he's a great screener. He's a great passer. Obviously, he's working hard on the defensive end. He's a presence down there. But I've been impressed with his movement. And I feel like he might be moving even better than his last stint with the Warriors when they won the championship. I feel like he's really taking care of his body. And they talked about him winning the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year with the Sydney Kings in Australia there. So he's really kind of a different person and a different player in terms of his body and the way he eats and all those things. It's really showing up. He's moving his feet when he switches out on the guards. He's working harder. So they've really been solid for the Warriors in the absence of DeMarcus.
A couple times I've stopped to think, what incredible foresight by the front office to reach out to Andrew Bogut and bring him back. Not, of course, that they knew anything was going to happen to Cousins, but what a move. I mean, it's not as though it doesn't affect them, but to be able to insert a guy in the starting lineup and have a big who's so familiar with the team and the system is just, I mean, that's a luxury that you almost can't imagine.
Yeah, it's incredible because it almost felt like no other teams were really looking at Andrew Bogut, and he was just kind of a forgotten big that was kind of playing out his career in Australia. No one really thought about going over there to look at him, see how he looks and how his body is and everything, and the Warriors just kept an eye on him. And as soon as he got done there in Australia, he was able to come here, and he got his family over here. It was a tough few days as far as traveling and logistics and all those things, and he didn't really get to practice much. But the great thing about him is he had been with the Warriors before, and he knows exactly how they play. Nothing's really changed other than Kevin Durant and the aspect that he brings and everything that he can do. But the Warriors overall still play the same way. It's unselfishness, it's screening, it's moving without the ball, it's all those things that he's really good at. And he can just kind of play off of guys. He's low maintenance. He's not a big that's going to demand the ball. So that was an incredible, incredible pickup. And it looks even better now that DeMarcus is hurt.
For sure. All right, so we know that the Rockets will not sweep the Utah Jazz because Utah took game four and managed to buck up in Salt Lake. What stands out to you about the other Western Conference series to this point?
Well, so Houston, yeah, they found that it's really hard to close out any team, and Utah's got some fight in them, and Donovan Mitchell really came to play. One thing that's been standing out to me about this series is the way they've been guarding James Harden. So they've just been basically sitting on his left shoulder, and they almost play behind him. They almost play behind him, so they want him to drive, and then Gobert, whoever the big is down there, they'll come off of Capella and help. And they basically rotate early. So the guard on the weak side will crack back and help the helper early so they don't throw the lob. So they don't want him to throw the lob. They want him to throw the skip pass to the shooters. And early in the game, the shooters were kind of making that shot, and you had Eric Gordon doing his thing, and P.J. Tucker, I think, knocked down some. But this one game, I guess it worked out for the most part for the Utah Jazz because they did get the win. But James did have a big game. I don't think the Warriors are going to play that way. I've seen it work a little bit in this series, but the Rockets won those other games, the first three games, obviously, and they lost this one. But I don't think the Warriors are going to play this way because you get guys into rhythm, and James is probably going to start hitting shots at some point. You make it kind of easy on him to get into the paint. He's a good decision maker. He's a good passer. So other guys get into a rhythm and guys are scoring that you don't want to score and they're feeling confident, they're touching the ball, and then James is good enough to step step back to the right. You know what I mean? He's not broken going to his right. So I'm not big on that scheme, and I don't think it's something that the Warriors are going to adopt. They'll probably play him a little more straight up and just rely on their good defense. And I've enjoyed watching the Eastern Conference. Obviously, Boston took care of business. The Sixers in Brooklyn has been irritating with Jared Dudley and Ben Simmons and those guys. And I think the Sixers will probably close that game out. But Brooklyn has them fighting them, and we'll see that probably tomorrow. And who else? The Portland Trailblazers are playing inspired basketball offensively. They seem to have more of a plan, and they have other guys stepping up, and they're more of a team the way they play on the offensive side. OKC is still Russell Westbrook and Paul George take tough shots. Hopefully they play well. If not, we're probably not going to get anything else from the other guys. And then Portland's been really defending too. And this is not a good look for Russell Westbrook losing right. again in the first round.
Gosh.
But that's just kind of the player he is. I've never really trusted him in big moments with his decision-making, even though he's one of my favorite players to watch. But I'm kind of happy for Damian Lillard. He is from Oakland, and he's really showing that he's one to make amends for getting swept the last two seasons in the first round.
And that Game 5 comes up on Tuesday night. Kalena Azubuki, former Warrior, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Who's your MVP, though, when you think about the performances from Giannis during the season? Who would you, if you had a vote, I know the votes are already tabulated, but who would you cast your vote for?
I got Giannis as my MVP. I know James Harden averaged more points, but Giannis has just been incredible, really, on both ends of the floor. And I'll give James credit. He was a little better defensively. He is up there in steals this year, so he hasn't just been a guy that's just forgotten about the defensive side. But Giannis has the ability to affect the game more on the defensive side with his length, his mm-hmm. ability to move his feet, block shots, and all those things. And he is just unguardable. And that's without a jump shot. And guys are gapping him. And basically, every time you defend Giannis in the half court and you gap him like that, it's kind of like you're trying to defend him in transition, because he can get a running start and just kind of close the gap, and then he's got all the side steps and euro steps and all kinds of different moves getting to the basket. He's so long, it's so hard to keep him away from getting to the basket. He'll dunk on you in a second, and he's so strong now. He's worked on his body, so he's a physical specimen. If he ever gets a jump shot, which I kind of think he will, he hit a few threes every now and then. Mm-hmm. But if he can even get like just a consistent 10 to 15 footer where he makes you think twice about gapping him that much, because I still feel like people are always going to gap him his whole career, even if he does get a jumper. If he does that, man, he's really going to be even more of a problem. He is a problem already right now, but man, I don't even want to see him when he gets a jump shot. That's going to be incredible. I do want to see it because it'll be entertaining, but well, that'll be incredible.
And on nights like Monday, where he's 15 of 20 from the free throw line, you certainly don't want to be hanging on him. We're not talking about, you know, foul a Giannis or anything like that that's going to help your call.
Yeah, yeah. Hack a Giannis, yeah.
Hack a Giannis. Oh, yeah. My gosh. That should be something new just because I like the name. All right. So you can find Kalena on Twitter at KELENNA7. He's a former Warrior, now with NBC Sports Bay Area, does the pre and post for the team. It's always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Amy. Take care.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning in. It's our second show of the work week, also our Twizzler Tuesday show, because we like to think about candy. It helps us put Monday behind us. Ooh, Monday was a doozy for me. I know some of you weren't back to school, weren't back to your regular work routine yet, coming off of Easter weekend and Passover, but many of you were, and so you know what I'm talking about. This is some kind of crazy week, and with the wrinkle of doing the NFL draft show with Mark Melusis on Thursday evening, It just feels like everything's been thrown into flux. There's obviously a lot of prep that goes into hosting a draft show during the first round. And there's also a lot of work that's been done to help get us ready in terms of a network. So the production and the coordination and the team that's been getting ready behind the scenes. But it's a lot. I've never done an NFL draft show before. I've done reaction to an NFL draft many times, but I've never done a show during the draft. So this will be something new for me. Moose has done this before, so it'll be good to have him as a partner. It's also not something I've done in a really long time. Other than basketball on TV and radio, I haven't had a partner on a radio show in years. Not since I moved here. It's been a long time. I guess my previous network, I did two-person and sometimes three-person shows. So this is going to be a little bit of a shift for me, but I'm looking forward to it. I like new challenges, and this will be something new. Just stacks and stacks of papers and prep and reading and everything to get ready. So I hope you'll tune in. My family's pretty excited because it's a show when they are awake. It'll start at the same time as the NFL draft begins, which is 7 o'clock p.m. Nashville time. That's where the draft originates from. 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock on the West Coast. So you can figure out your time zones. But we'll be here on the radio through the course of the first round. 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern time, and then 5 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, and everything in between. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Oh, and on Twitter. We've been called our first name for our Twizzler Tuesday question. I knew this was going to happen. For people who listen to my show on a regular basis, you know that this is way outside my comfort zone. I know that this is a distinct possibility. The Bob Kraft video from inside that Florida massage parlor may in fact become public. I'll just say I'm hoping it does not. I really am hoping that it never hits the internet. But something tells me TMZ is going to have it before long. TMZ gets everything. They're willing to pay for this kind of stuff. The NFL says it is not. Thank God. So there's still a chance it doesn't become public. And again, I really hope it doesn't. Because not because I'm worried about protecting his privacy. He sacrificed that when he made these choices, allegedly. But if it does become public, I want to know whether or not you're going to watch it. I will not ever, ever, because it's one of those things I cannot unsee. And I'm a person who loses respect for people. I'm not saying it's fair. It's just that I lose respect for people in the business, whether it's sports or whether it's sports media, when I see them in situations that are unprofessional. So I tend not to socialize very often with people from work. I try to keep work and personal separate. I mean, I'm not saying I've never had friends from work. In fact, at my previous network, we had a big group of people who went golfing a few times a week during the golf season. And so I'm just careful about it. I never go to holiday parties for work because I don't want to see my coworkers drunk. That does not appeal to me at all. I know I'll lose respect for them. And in the case of the Patriots owner, I don't, first of all, he's an older gentleman, and the idea of him paying for sexual favors to me is disgusting. And so I don't want to see that anyway, even if it was someone outside of the sports industry. But the fact that he is an owner of an NFL team, I already have a hard time thinking about Bob Kraft without thinking about the situation in Florida. And I don't believe that I could ever think about it in the same way if I saw the video. I would have a hard time covering him in the future if I saw this video. So I have zero desire to see it. None. But I'm wondering if that's the case with you. And many of you have chosen GIFs on our Facebook page to express your opinions. Some of you are saying, no way, it would gross you out. Others are saying, yes, please, get my popcorn ready. So it's a wide range of responses on Facebook. I would also encourage you, I know I can't do anything about it on Twitter other than mute people, but if you're going to put lewd comments on our Facebook page, they're going to be deleted. I don't need any instructions about what you think happened with Bob Kraft or how it happened or I don't. Yeah, I'm a grown woman. Thank you. And so don't use disgusting language or you'll get deleted off the Facebook page. You just can say yes or no or and why you wouldn't want to see it or you would. And again, there's a wide variety. You're blowing it up. It's only been a few minutes posted on our Facebook page. And yeah, you're already coming up with many GIFs and a variety of responses. So you can either find us on Facebook or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And as I said, we've already been called our first name. The fact that Brian pluralized this tweet makes me feel a little bit better. Because again, this is way outside my comfort zone. I know the possibilities when I ask a question like this. And the guys can confirm Kevin is with us tonight instead of Dave because Dave is out of the country with his family. So Kevin, Chris, and then Crystal Presti, who is here doing updates, I ask them all before I put this question out there. Should we ask this? Should I ask this? Is that inappropriate? I don't want to, you know me, I'm kind of a prude. I don't want to be inappropriate at all. And I'm the only girl here. And so I need some input from the men on the show. And they all said, well, they all made faces. But they all said, no, it's a good question to ask, including Chris Lopresti, whose opinion I really respect because of our working relationship. But Brian on Twitter says this, and I quote, no, you freaking creeps. Now, the fact that he unfollowed me on Twitter after that, I think he's referring to us as creeps for asking the question. But this is sports radio. It's not life or death. This is an entertainment medium. And we have our finger on the pulse of the peeps. So whether that makes me a freaking creep or not, I feel as though it's a legitimate question to ask. And judging by the volume of responses so far, you are, well, and we've only been called creeps once. Like, again, I'm including you two in this because he pluralized creep, so it's not just me. You both are freaking creeps, according to Brian. It's a question that many people have had on their minds. So whether we are creepy or not for asking the question, it's out there. Again, on Twitter or Facebook, let's hope it doesn't become public. I'm just speaking for myself. But if the Bob Kraft video does become public, will you watch it? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Chicken and waffle dinner.
A swing and a drive. Away back. Gone.
That's nasty, stinky. Boom, baby.
His jaw-dropping heroics made us swoon this weekend. It's time for Man Crush Monday on After Hours.
Yelich, it's a high fly ball deep to right center. Going back on it is Bellinger at the wall. He leaps, and he makes the catch! What a play by Bellinger as he reached up over the top of the wall and yanked one back from Yelich. And Cody swings, and he drives one deep to right field. It is back. It is gone! A home run for Bellinger! And the Dodgers lead it 6-5. He took the 1-2 pitch out of here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cody Bellinger to the rescue multiple times in the series finale against the Milwaukee Brewers. It was a four-game set that ended on Sunday. And as you hear with Tim Neverett on the Dodgers radio network, this is what Bellinger's doing these days. He not only prevents Christian Yelich from homering, he reaches over the wall and brings back what would have been, I think, the 14th home run for the reigning NL MVP. But he also has the game-winning home run. At the time, it broke a tie in extra innings. And so Bellinger is doing it all, and he is our player of the week, brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the stats, the place that he's in right now. It's actually Triple Crown territory for Cody Bellinger. He's batting .424 with 11 home runs and 28 RBI. He could provide some competition for one Christian Yelich. If you're talking, and it's early, but if you're talking about MVP races in April, because that makes a lot of sense. But Bellinger's second in the majors to Yelich in terms of home runs, 13 and 11. And actually, his teammate, Jock Peterson, has 10. They've been hitting the ball out of the park with alacrity to start the year. Bellinger's also tops in the majors in batting average. So Tim Anderson took a big dip in the last couple days. Bellinger has the best batting average in the major leagues at .424. And then he has 28 runs batted in, which is second only to Christian, who has 31. So right now, those two guys could provide quite the show over the summer. I don't know if we're going to compare it to, was it 1998 with the home run back and forth between Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire? I don't think we can go there yet. And we're not talking about performance-enhancing drugs. But certainly what Cody Bellinger's doing out of the gate for the Dodgers. You picked him as your Man Crush Monday over Tomas Hertl, who scored the double overtime shorthanded goal for the Sharks to force a game 7 against the Golden Knights. You picked him over Gordon Hayward and also over Kawhi Leonard. So he's your choice, and I approve this message. The player of the week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I am pleasantly surprised that there are many of you who, now you say you would not ever look at the Bob Kraft video if it was released. I'm going to choose to believe you, because why wouldn't I? You're choosing to believe me. But some of you are saying absolutely you would. Tommy says, probably yes, I watch everything else on the dark web. So why not? Bob Kraft video inside a massage parlor where he's not actually getting a massage? If I watch everything else on the dark web, I might as well watch that. Dane says, no, leave the rich old guy alone. Yeah, that's not actually a case for leaving him alone. I think that might actually be the opposite. Let's see. Donald says it will be more popular than the Paris Hilton video. I didn't see that one either. Thank heavens. Jeff says, no, I'd rather watch soccer. And that's the most boring thing there is besides paint drying. Now, I disagree with you about soccer. On TV, it can be dry, but it's not a boring game. Let's see. Mark says, if I was to watch porn, it wouldn't be that. I kind of feel like it would be a really bad excuse, a bad substitute for porn. But that's just me using my imagination. Greg says, no, I've got more important stuff to do in my life, such as mowing the lawn. Yes, I have to mow my lawn this week, too. I was a royal procrastinator last week, and now my front lawn has turned into a jungle. And so it's time to get the lawnmower out of the shed and pick up the sticks that are littering the yard after a winter full of windstorms. Barbara summarizes my reaction perfectly. Yuck. I don't want to see that. When was the last time you heard someone, a grown man or a woman, use the term yuck? Donnie says, my eyes are bad enough. I don't want to go blind. Julius says on Facebook, yes, LOL. And then he has like four laughing so hard he's crying emojis. Sean says, duh, yes. Like, duh, why would you even ask the question? The GIFs are killing me. If you guys have access to Facebook, you should go to our show Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, because your GIFs are hysterical. They're making me laugh out loud. And your emojis. George uses an emoji, the green-faced throw-up emoji, which is icky in and of itself. Although, one of my favorite emojis that might be applicable in this situation is the pig nose emoji. If you guys ever use the pig nose, It's not the pig. It's just the pig's nose. So, for instance, when something smells bad, like my dog had gas over the weekend, and I was like, oh, Penny. And so, and of course, she wants to sit right next to me when this is happening. Pardon me for talking about this. But anyway, so I sent my mom a text using the pig nose emoji because it seemed appropriate. The pig nose emoji might also be appropriate in this case. All right. So right now, do we need to do a Twitter poll? Is that inappropriate? Are we going to get called freaking creeps again? I can't help it. I've never been called that before. maybe it wasn't supposed to be a compliment. Anyway, so the gifts on Facebook are fantastic. And so I would love for you to check it out. Jason says, not if you paid me. He also says, yuck. Shirley says, why would I want to see that? In all capital letters, she's yelling. And then David says, I don't even want to think about Bob Kraft having sex. Is that like thinking about your parents having sex? None of us want to think about that ever. It's a thing. You don't want to think about that. Or your grandparents. Now, I only have one grandparent left, and she has been single for decades because my grandpa passed away when I was 3 years old, I believe is when he died from lung cancer. And so she never dated. She never was going to get married again. She's a really strong Polish woman who at 97 years old is still trucking. And so she never got married again. But this would kind of be like thinking about your grandparents, if you're younger, if your grandparents having sex. I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. No way we should ever think about that ever. I just am wondering, if it becomes public, what will the NFL do? That question crosses my mind, because if it becomes public, now it's a misdemeanor crime. I'm not at all saying that it's okay, or that it's, you know, the whole element of the human trafficking too, it just adds another layer of awful to it. It's not something I would do. I'm not naive enough to say that no one listening to the show has ever done the same thing. Okay. So I'm not that naive. I tend to be gullible and naive at times, although this job has kind of changed me. But I'm not going to be stupid enough to think none of you who's listening has ever done anything like this before. So it's a wide range of people who are listening to the show. But I, just in general, am wondering if this gets out and it does damage to the NFL, because Bob Kraft is one of its handful of owners. It's an oligarchy. Remember that. These are owners who run the league. It's their league. They make up the NFL. Robert Kraft. Roger Goodell is their CEO. He's got a lot of power for sure, but he doesn't have carte blanche. He does, however, have the power to discipline owners the same way that he would hand out discipline for athletes. But if it comes out, there's no putting that cat back in the bag. I don't really understand that cliche, because who has a cat in a bag? But there's no going back. There's no unseeing it. And as much as I am pleasantly surprised that so many of you are indicating you would not watch it, can I tell you the truth? There will be millions of people who will. Millions. Even if you say you won't now, what if someone shows it to you? Are you going to scream and run away? Probably not. This is how we are as humans. This is why videos go viral. So you can say you won't watch it, and I would believe you right now, but there's a good chance that you'll see it anyway. But even if you don't, millions of other people will. So what does the NFL do about it? I don't know. We can't unsee that. And once it becomes public, it'll never go away. It's like the Ray Rice video, all that of course, much more serious in terms of criminal. So Chris and Kevin both made faces. I know we have just about 45 seconds, but yes or no, you'll watch the Bob Kraft video, you two hiding behind the double-paned glass?
No, but I get it, because we live in a voyeuristic society. That's it.
So you won't, not even if someone shows it to you, not even if one of your buddies, when you get together, is like, yo, have you seen this? You won't.
No shot.
You'll close your eyes.
I will take their phone and throw it into the nearest river.
Oh,
I have no
that's
desire.
A good idea. Okay. What about you, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Kevin, before you talk, because no one knows you, how old are you?
I am 22 years old.
Okay, 22. So, would you?
Absolutely not. Robert Kraft has done enough damage to me.
Whatever. Take your loyalties out of it. In fact, I think, I don't know if you're a Jets fan, if that's what you're referring to.
No, I'm a Giants fan, but I'm also a big Bon Jovi fan. He brainwashed John Bon Jovi into being a Pats fan.
Oh, okay. So that aside, once someone shows it to you, you still wouldn't watch it?
Absolutely not. I have no desire.
I like you guys better after that conversation. That's good. I wouldn't either, and I've told you why. I can't possibly unsee it. I would never respect the man again. I'm even having a hard time respecting after this whole situation. So that's our Twizzler Tuesday question. If Bob Kraft's video goes public, will you watch it?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.